Good morning. It is time to get up with Aaron. The way he played and then what he said suggests this might become his best year ever. Meanwhile, oh, what a game in Seattle. Dak and Dallas down to the final seconds. What this one meant for both teams moving forward. And it gets no better in Philadelphia. We've got all the ways this team got worse Sunday against Cincinnati. All that and more as we get up with you starting right now. As always, live from the Seaport District at Pier 17. Brought to you by Heineken. I am Greeny. We've got all the football headed your way. But that's not all. The Miami Heat last night clinching the Eastern Conference Championship with a Game 6 win over the Celtics. They move on to play LeBron and the Lakers beginning Wednesday night. We will have complete highlights and coverage. But that's not all. The Major League Baseball season came to an end yesterday. 16 teams left standing in a battle for a World Series championship unlike any in the history of the sport. So all that is on the way. And look who is here. We have got Ryan Clark, Rex Ryan, Dan Orlovsky. Because of social distancing, someone had to leave the desk.
Who is you?
RC decided it was going to be me. All right, let's get right to it as we had spectacular NFL action yesterday, and it begins at the end. The Packers and the Saints on Sunday Night Football. The legendary quarterbacks meeting for the fifth time, Rodgers and Brees. And without his favorite weapon, Michael Thomas, it's Alvin Kamara getting a lot of the work.
Yeah, great down blocks and then the pull by the motion man. And then you see Kamara go down the sideline, long speed, huge start for this Saints run game.
And they were down 3-0, but they'd be down no more because two plays later, it's Brees again, it's Kamara again.
Seen it so many times. Free release him out of the backfield. He can go either way that he wants. Sets the linebacker. Early touchdown for New Orleans.
Michael Thomas not the only star receiver not playing. No Devontae Adams. No problem for Aaron and the Packers. Off play action, it's Lazard.
This is just unfair. Coming over your left shoulder like that, the rollout, that ball comes down with a butterfly on sore feet. Absolutely spectacular throw by 12.
More play action, more Rodgers, more Lazard in for a touchdown.
Yeah, way to finish the drive. Again, you see motion and play action become a staple for this Packers offense.
Early third. I tell you, Lazard with a spectacular night. Six catches, 146 yards, one touchdown, and this one was close.
They came out aggressive to start this second half. Third and 10, they get quarters coverage. They bring them from one side of the field all the way across to the other. Get caught at the one. Don't do that again.
Now, under a minute to go, Saints down 27-20. Ryan Clark, where's the tackling on this play to Kamara?
This is why they need preseason. Boys can't tackle. Alvin Kamara is one of the smoothest players in this league. And look, my homeboy used to say, you ain't saying nothing slick to a can of oil, and he was a can of oil there.
What?
Exactly the way I was going to say it.
Yeah.
Kamara finished the game with 197 total yards and two touchdowns. Rex Ryan averting his eyes as he sees the tackling or the lack thereof. To the fourth we go now. Same score, tied at 27. Taysom Hill. Dan, this is where they may have gotten a little too cute.
Absolutely, Green. This is one too many going to the well. And what happens is the lack of exchange communication. The tailback thinks he's getting it. Taysom Hill, the quarterback, wants to pull it to keep it himself. And just that fraction of time, miscommunication forces that fumble.
And that sets up this big moment on a third down. Rodgers has a free play, so he throws it up.
Yeah, not having a crowd is huge here because he can then control the cadence. He gets New Orleans to jump off sides. We see that free play and then the pass interference. And then again, play action to Tanyan to finish the drive.
Rodgers, 288, three touchdowns. Packers win the battle, 37-30.
I feel so much more comfortable in the offense this year. And I think Matt, has really settled into the rhythm of the play calling. And it's, it's made my job a lot easier.
What a performance. What a win. Let's go to the host of our show, Rex Ryan, this morning. Rex, your thoughts on Aaron Rodgers and in particular how comfortable he all of a sudden looks in this offense in year two.
Yeah, Greeny, when I look at it, look, that last year they were 3-0, but it feels so different, feels so much better. It really is because of the connection he has with LaFleur, his coach. I mean, look, last year there was friction there, and maybe he, I want to do things my way. Well, no, they're together right now, and that's scary for the whole league.
Dan,
what do you think, Dano?
I'd say this. Good job, host. After week one's performance, I said that was the best Aaron Rodgers looked in 5 years. And some people thought I was a little being extreme. Aaron Rodgers himself thought I was being extreme. This is the best Aaron Rodgers has looked in 5 years. After 3 weeks, he's playing his best football. Green Bay is the crown of the NFC. They are as complete a football team as we have in the NFC and right now playing the best. And the biggest thing is this. there were some questions coming into this season of how good Matt LaFleur was. Like, was he going to be good enough?
I had those questions.
Was last year an aberration? You know, first year as a head coach? He is the reason why number 12 is playing so well. That's the thing that's going on right now is Green Bay. And I remember when Aaron Rodgers sat there in the press conference and said, as they were playing San Francisco, said, I want my offense to look like that offense. I want to have fun playing quarterback like San Francisco's quarterback does. Matt LaFleur has brought that. Mm-hmm. That's the biggest thing right now with Green Bay is the reason for their success is the quarterback and coach are seeing everything the same way.
All right, RC, so we see one side of it. The Packers obviously right now look as good as any team in the NFL. The other side, Drew Brees came back to win a Super Bowl this year. They're 1-2 and struggling in a lot of different ways. What do you see from the Saints?
Well, the difference is this. Listen, 12 can still do it and 9 can't. And that's okay. So now you have to figure out a way to win. We talked about Aaron Rodgers' confidence. Yeah, it's confidence. But through that confidence, we're seeing that talent. You're seeing him rolling to the left and hitting Lazard down the field. You're seeing no-look passes. When you watch Drew Brees, it's not even dink and dunk. It's, okay, I'm going to get the ball to Alvin Kamara as fast as I can so he can do things that I can't. 60% of his yards last night were yards after the catch. He is so reliant on the people around him. That's not the Drew Brees we know. And so as the Green Bay Packers go throughout this season, what they will think to themselves is, we can win because of the guy that is playing quarterback for our team. What the Saints will think is, no matter what happened, it won't be a Minneapolis miracle, it won't be a Kyle Rudolph push off, it will not be a missed defensive pass interference. The reason the Saints won't win the Super Bowl this year is because their quarterback can't do it. Mm. And that's something that they haven't dealt with in a decade and a half.
That is a big statement, but it's kind of hard to disagree with as you watch it. Rex Ryan, as you watch this New Orleans team that has been as good as any in the league for the last half decade consistently, if not more, can they do it well enough on either side of the ball to be a legit Super Bowl contender?
Well, right now they can't, but if there's everybody talks about Deshaun Watson missing DeAndre Hopkins. Are you kidding me? Drew Brees misses Michael Thomas so bad that he doesn't have the confidence in the other guys. I mean, he could just see man coverage. I'm going to throw it right there, whatever it was. So to me, look, they got to get back to running the football more and play action. They need to.
Rex, I hear that. I hear what you're saying. And Dan as well. When you have a guy like Drew Brees, when you have a guy like Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, what do we always say? They can make everyone around them better.
Right.
This has changed now.
It is.
So if you're coaching the New Orleans Saints, where do you start with this offense if you trying to find a way to win the Super Bowl?
I'm going to start running the football. They averaged 6 yards a carry. Kamara was almost 10 yards a carry yesterday. And look, I get it. No Michael Thomas. So you got to change things a little bit. Go to more of a running attack,
but here's
and that's going to help everybody.
The game in the NFL right now is about being explosive. They saw it last night with Green Bay. And so you look at Green Bay, they're explosive. Seattle, they're explosive. Yep. Tampa Bay is explosive. Dallas is explosive. You're not explosive on offense right now, New Orleans. You can operate and you can execute, but that won't be enough.
But
now, granted, they scored 27 and 24 without Michael Thomas, so that's good. You can score. But can you be explosive enough to win? That's the game right now in the NFL. Running the football is not going to do that. You can't screen pass people to death. You can't and beat good football teams
right now.
Well,
New England did.
But they beat the Raiders.
Excuse me, Greeny, would you like to – hold, excuse me, 1 second, host. Greeny, would you like to join the show?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Jump in very quickly and just finish this conversation with this question for you, Ryan Clark. What are you seeing from Aaron Rodgers right now? That's your nemesis. Let's finish it on the guy who won the game last night and whose team right now looks like it may be the best
in the sport. I'm seeing Aaron Rodgers right now being able to call people by their number, even though he knows their names, and go, tss, because that's the way he is fitting balls in. And listen, every time I watch it, it just brings back memories and nightmares of how great that man was. And he said he started watching film from 2010. Yeah. And that's the dude he was. When you go have a conversation with your coach and say, I want it to look like this, and he makes it look that way, like you said, Dan, you put that pressure on yourself.
For sure.
And I believe that Aaron Rodgers wanted that pressure, and my goodness, is he thriving in it.
That throw to Lazard. The throw to Lazard rolling over his left and throwing it with air, and it lands so softly. I said, like a butterfly with sore feet, like, That is vintage Aaron Rodgers. We haven't seen that guy in a couple years.
That's why he getting the special State Farm rate right now, bro. Because that's how he's rolling.
No, everyone gets it.
We are only one game in. We have the rest of your Sunday to go, plus the basketball, plus the baseball. Coming up next, Dak and Dallas came right down to the wire. Our guys will tell us what that loss means for the Cowboys going forward. Sometimes there's almost as much good as there is bad. Then speaking of bad, the Bears decided it was time to ditch Mitch. Do any of our experts think Foles is the answer in Chicago? We've got the answers as we continue. Get up on ESPN. Get Up is brought to you by GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. Oh, what a game late yesterday afternoon. Seattle, Dallas, Russell Wilson, Dak Prescott. Here we go. Pick it up early. Get used to hearing this. Russell Wilson for Tyler Lockett, Dan.
Yeah, great beater against quarters. They go play action pass, and Lockett just runs right by that safety. Early start for the Seattle offense.
So now they're up 7-3. Now they have a second down at their own 37. It's Wilson. It's DK Metcalf. Oh, this is going to be an easy touchdown, except Ryan Clark. What happens?
You got to finish, DK. Way to hustle by the rookie Diggs. That's how you finish the play. Not what you want to do if you're DK Metcalf.
It's bordering on inexcusable. Cost the Seahawks a touchdown. We remain tied at 9. We'll talk much more about it when we finish the game. Meantime, under a minute to go. Cowboys down by 1. It's Dak. He's throwing, and this one, Dan, he'd like back.
Yeah, Greeny, he's just late. You see a second hitch in the pocket. It's a great play by Griffin to undercut that wrap in route, and it's a huge turnover late in this first half for Dallas.
Russell takes advantage. Final 12 seconds. It's Lockett's third touchdown of the half.
You might want to cover them. They're in a bunch set. They're probably going to run crossers. Just stay heads up. Might want to cover 16.
Third down. Cowboys are down 15, but they've come from behind in the week before, and they're coming from behind again. It's Dak. It's Cedric Wilson.
Yeah, good job. Driving up in the pocket. They got a post over the top. Wilson wrapping underneath. A beautiful ball by Dak, and he's got him, gave him a runner's ball where he can go and finish that touchdown.
So Dak looking one way. Now he's looking another. This one's going to be Michael Gallup, 43 yards in the score.
Kind of becoming a staple. Gallup down the sidelines. Just give him the ability in one-on-one to go make a catch. Ball's a little bit behind them. He adjusts great on that back hit. Touchdown Dallas.
They go for the two. They don't get it. So it's 30-28. Next Cowboy possession. It's Dak. He's picked off. No, he's not. Oh, it's kicked up. Oh, wait a minute. Michael Gallup makes the catch.
It looks, is this RC playing corner right here?
No.
I mean, that ball goes up.
Somebody would have been asleep if it was RC.
Dak would throw for 472 yards. Ensuing Seahawks possession. Here's your ball game on a fourth down. But, of course, Russell Wilson with the old reliable Greg Olsen. Drive continues, and that sets up this. Redemption, thy name is DK Metcalf.
Watch the patience in the pocket. Patience, patience. Give DK Metcalf the chance to run from one side of the field all the way to the other, and then just beautiful air on that throw. To throw it to a spot where only he can go chase it down.
But Dallas still has a chance, and Rex Ryan, Dak Prescott, he manages to stay up here but makes the big mistake.
Yeah, he makes the big mistake, but my goodness. They can't. I mean, you throw it up there for good. You throw it into a team meeting. You had no choice. You almost had.
Seahawks win.
Throw it into a team meeting.
The last 3 weeks, we're only stopping ourselves. So we've got to get out of our own way, be cleaner with the ball, play smarter football, and find a way to start faster, whatever it is. But I'm going to trust the coaches, know these players. We're going to go back, and we're going to figure out a way to get this thing right and clean it up.
So, obviously, the quarterbacks are the number one takeaway here. Dan Orlovsky, let's start by doing that. Let's start by talking about Russell Wilson, who has thrown 14 touchdowns through the first three games of the season. That is the most in NFL history. He's been a great player for a long time. What looks different to you?
Well, he's in complete control of his football game every single play. You know, there's a lot of quarterbacks that you can play well and you can fluctuate your play, and then you miss a third down or you miss a fourth down. Russell Wilson right now is playing perfect football. He needs to because his defense is so bad and greedy. That's the difference of this football game is the reality is both quarterbacks had to play perfect to win. Russell Wilson did, and Dak unfortunately didn't. Now, this is about Russell Wilson. I mean, there's not a throw or a play that he can't make. If the play's there, he makes it. The ball comes out on time. And then if the play's not there, he moves in the pocket. He creates some time. He scrambles when he needs to. Just there's this confidence and control in his game. And as a defensive coordinator, you're going, I don't know what to do against him. Because your call's not going to be good enough and your guys aren't going to execute it well enough.
Rex, you're a defensive mind. What are you doing against Russell Wilson right now?
Well, I can tell you this. I'm not just going to sit back and just
You don't sit back versus anybody.
And all that. I'm going to at least try to knock him out of the game. I mean, you got to try to do something because you're right, Greedy. And guys, Lee is playing so good. Look, He's had one interception, and we all saw it. That was a drop pass by Greg Olsen.
Yeah.
So, to me, the guy is amazing. Everybody knew that he was going to convert that fourth down. There's no question about
it. That's a good point.
And then we all knew he was going to score. What we didn't know is Seattle was going to actually find a way to finally stop Dallas at the end there. So, to me, he is amazing. But I would – if I'm going to take a butt-kicking, which I've taken many in my life, I'm at least going to try to throw a punch.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, to me, go get him. You've got to do something.
Yeah, listen, for me – Russell Wilson, one of Sierra's latest singles is called Level Up. That's what Russell Wilson has done. Remember, they used to try to win around Russell Wilson. Let's run the ball. Legion of Boom.
Yeah.
Now it's all about him and what he can do. And it doesn't matter. You can be DK Metcalf and forget that you need to score a touchdown. You can be the defense and forget that you actually have to tackle and stop people because it does not matter. Russell Wilson is on a different level right now, and we saw that yesterday.
So I'm raising my hand because I have a question. Rex, you're the coach, and DK Metcalf makes that play, and he comes back to the sideline now. Again, we just showed it to you in the highlight. Just doesn't take it into the end zone for the score, nonchalanting it, obviously not realizing the defender is there, and it could easily have wound up costing them that game. When that player gets to the sideline, when you're the head coach, what do you do?
Well, first off, thank goodness you have a mask on. Because you're going to be like, are you kidding me? Like, you would just be ripping this cat so much. And you'd still at the same time say, I love you, but oh my gosh. Like, you've got to, it's a teachable moment. It's a teachable moment. But my goodness, you've got to be a pro, guys. You've got to be a pro.
Yeah, he'll never
That's a
do
teachable
that again,
moment, no. guys, like right. in seventh grade, right?
Yes.
Like in the NFL.
Yes.
You shouldn't have to learn that. And Clark, tell me, you're a teammate. He gets over to the sideline. What do you say?
Well, listen, if I'm a teammate, I'm clicking out. But if I'm Russell Wilson, what I'm doing is I'm summoning the same God that told me to reach out to Sierra. Because that's the only guy that can stop you from cussing out DK Metcalf when he does something
that's
like that.
Beautiful.
And you know what else I know about Russell Wilson? The way he's playing right now, what he said, he's limitless or something, unlimited, and he's the best quarterback playing. He walked over to DK Metcalf and he said, you know what, bro? They got that one, but we're going to get it back. And at the end of the game, I'm coming to you with the ball, and that's how we'll win. And he's playing so good that you know what DK Metcalf said? You're right, Russ. Let's go do it.
Yeah.
And that's where this team is. That's where this quarterback is. And so he can overcome things like that, and not everybody can.
It's almost like for that three and a half hour block, he goes to a different place mentally right now, where he is just seeing everything at such a slow pace. He knows exactly where the weaknesses are. He knows exactly when the ball's got to come out and when and go to where. It's like everything's moving so much slower. I'm telling you, the time in the pocket that he creates is on purpose. He just knows, okay, the defense is set up. This is not going to be a great play. I'm going to hang in the pocket for like that game-winning touchdown pass to DK Metcalf is the perfect example. You're right, RC. He probably goes over and said, dude, I'm going to come right back to you.
Yep.
We're going to win this football game because a play that you make and you kind of speak that thing into existence type of thing. It's also a reason why he's the great leader that he is.
And so much, as we wrap it on this thought, Dan Orlovsky, so much of the show has been a daily referendum on just how good Dak is.
Yeah.
He does make a couple of mistakes, but generally speaking, that's back-to-back weeks that he's thrown for over 400 yards and his team needed every one of them.
Yeah, it's the best two-week stretch I've ever seen out of Dak Prescott, and they're 1-1. And it's because of a miracle. That
right.
tells you everything you need to know about the Dallas Cowboys. You made this bet, Dallas. Your quarterback's got to play perfect football to win football games. And don't be surprised that that's the story every single week for the rest of the season.
Yeah, that was a night where defense was very much optional. And in both cases, they seemed to opt out. Meanwhile, as we continue, the Heat are headed to the NBA Finals. One member of our crew thinks they could push LeBron and the Lakers to the brink. You'll hear that as we continue next. This is Get Up on ESPN. Back on Get Up on a busy NFL Monday, running the hurry up. Rex, Texans fall to 0-3 with a loss to Pittsburgh. Your biggest thought?
Bill O'Brien, don't blame anybody but yourself. Are you kidding me? DeAndre Hopkins is not there. Your offense looks way different. Your football team looks different. Now, granted, who in the heck scheduled those three games?
Yeah.
I mean, they've had a hell of a three-game stretch. But, you know, you had Deshaun Watson. You still have a chance. But, man, oh, man. Different team.
They opened with Kansas City, Baltimore, and Pittsburgh. They now sit 0-3. Dan, the Eagles, a tie with the Bengals yesterday. What'd you see from Carson Wentz?
Yeah, I just threw up in my mouth hearing that. Greeny, listen, we'll talk about this more a little bit later. My wife wanted me to wait to wear my green suit till the Eagles won. God knows when that's going to happen. Here's the thing. Carson Wentz needs to stop being nonchalant with everything. Nonchalant with his feet, nonchalant with his body language, nonchalant with the ball. It's hurting their football team. Doug Peterson, I don't know what happened to the coach that ran Philly special in the Super Bowl and you accepted a tie. I can't sit with that. I can't sit well with that.
We will talk more about that one in about 15 minutes. Meanwhile, RC, you picked the Vikings to win the division. They're 0-3. What's happened?
Why are you bringing up old stuff? That's not that old. Hey, listen.
It's a reality.
Hey, players mess up. When you look at this team, at least this week they actually tried. They tried to score some points. They tried to play a little bit of defense, but this team doesn't have it. They're bad on the outside at corner, and they're young. They're not good in the interior line, and Kirk Cousins isn't playing great. At least yesterday he found the number two receiver in Justin Jefferson from Louisiana State University.
Well, they are now three games out in the division, not just behind Green Bay. How about the Bears? 11 minutes to go in the third, trailing the Falcons 23-10. Mitch Trubisky throws a terrible interception, and that's all she wrote. Falcons up 26-10. Dan, the moment we've been waiting for. Nick Foles on the field for Chicago.
Yeah, Greeny, the poor habits catch up to Mitchell Trubisky. It's just a zone defender. You've got to see that guy not throwing the ball. Oh, what, Nick Foles? Rocking a visor? This is going to be his job for the future. Beautiful ball to the sideline here. You see that corner sit, throw that out route over the top. Great start for this offense.
That was on a fourth down. Later in the drive, third and goal. It's Jimmy Graham still doing it. Bears don't get the two, so they're down 10. Falcons 3 and out, because of course they do. Second and 6 now in Falcons territory. 10-point game. Foles, Allen Robinson, Rex, where's the tackling?
It's not there in Atlanta. I can assure you that.
Bears now 26-23 down and still have a chance. Third down, they're not going to do this. They're not going to do this. Oh, they're going to do it. Anthony Miller, a 28-yard touchdown. Nick Foles, 3 touchdowns on 3 straight drives. Bears win. Falcons lose in even more heartbreaking fashion than the week before, if that could even be remotely possible. It's impossible to believe the way this thing has gone. So we can take this in a couple of different directions. Let's start with the quarterbacks. Dan, if you're making that decision, who's the quarterback of the Bears next week?
Yeah, this is easy, Nick Foles. I was waiting for the opportunity to go to him if I'm Matt Nagy, because we were a 2-0 football team, but we weren't a 2-0 football team because of the way that Mitchell Trubisky was playing, and it was just a matter of time. He opened the door, and Nick Foles not only walked through, but he stepped right through it and took over this football team. Trubisky, Greeny, the bad habits that he had success with caught up to him. The poor mechanics, the inability to see the football field, the lack of willingness to throw the ball downfield when the opportunity presented itself. The turnovers just became too much of a big deal, and Matt Nagy had to make the decision. I can no longer allow the quarterback to hurt our football team. And listen, we have to credit Nick Foles. He came in, rocketed that tinted visor, and took this team down the field 3 times to win the football game. Mitchell Trubisky, barring injury to Nick Foles, will never play again for the Chicago Bears.
It sounds like what Dan is saying is that playing the quarterback position got in the way of Mitchell Trubisky playing quarterback. Because he said basically he did nothing well. Yeah. Now you can go back to the second half of this game against the New York Giants last week. There's the Bradbury interception, the Julian Love interception. I believe that Matt Nagy and the Chicago Bears came into this game and said, if he doesn't play well early, he is out of here. I think they talked about that before they named him the starter, that they could move to Nick Foles when they need him.
Rex, what did the quick hook? Again, they're 2-0, and it's just not even a whole game yesterday. What did that quick hook tell you?
It told me exactly what Ryan was talking about. They were waiting. Mm-hmm. Hey, I don't care. When is it? Oh, there it is. Now we're going to go get him. But that's exactly what it was. But, guys, Nick Foles has never been the answer as a starting quarterback. I don't believe he's going to be the answer now. And the durability also is a problem. And he could have thrown 3 interceptions in this game as well. So, yeah. To me, I'm not buying it. I like the fact that he got rid of the visor later in the game, so that made a big difference. But here's what's going to happen, and I know Bear fans won't want to hear it. At some point, he's going to come back in because Foles will not stay healthy.
That's what he's shown through the years.
So that's one side of the story yesterday. The other one is can only really be described in a sports parlance as a tragedy. The Falcons' back-to-back losses these 2 weeks are as bad as anything we've ever seen.
Yeah, absolutely. It's unacceptable, Greeny. And it's hard when you do this job, and Rex was a great head coach in this league, you don't want to call for people's jobs. But the fact that Dan Quinn keeps getting opportunity after opportunity to fail since failing in the Super Bowl against the New England Patriots is crazy to me. You can't look this unprepared. You can't look this scared of success, because that's what the Atlanta Falcons are. They get up and they're scared of success. The other team says, we can always come back because it's the Atlanta Falcons. And the Atlanta Falcons says, we can always lose because we're the Atlanta Falcons. And that starts at the top.
What do you say, Rex? What do you say about this very specific little moment of failure unlike anything we've ever seen?
Yeah, I mean, but we all feel it as fans. It's the same thing. It's like, look, they're going to swallow the olive, and they do. And here's the other thing. The play calling, come on. Yeah, I get it. Oh, we had a deep ball. We just missed it, only if we would have hit it. Yeah, how about you get a first down?
Yeah.
That's what you need. They don't understand it. They're trying to pitch it way down the field. We need first downs and keep that clock rolling. And that's how the hell do you blow 25-point leads back-to-back? It never happens. And man, I feel for Dan Quinn. I feel for everybody. But at the same time, you got to understand your team has absolutely zero confidence in finishing. I mean, you need to come out with Mariano Rivera or something. Play Sandman. Do something. You got to change it.
When you say it literally never happens, that is actually true. What happened to them in consecutive weeks, Dan Orlovsky, has literally never happened. Final thought.
Yeah, Dan Quinn's done in Atlanta, and the Falcons team have cashed out on him. Greeny, unfortunately, I was part of some coaches getting fired in the NFL, and once you as a team on the sideline, in-game, start pointing fingers and arguing with each other and, you know, creating these little cliques, it's done. This team is cashed out. They have no confidence in their head coach anymore, and this is too talented of a roster to be sitting at 0-3. And so the question is, why are you 0-3? And I can only point the finger at one person. Dan Quinn, the head coach of the Atlanta Falcons, should no longer be their head coach.
It's tough to sit here and say it, but it is very hard to draw any other reasonable conclusion. All right, guys, sit tight, because as I open the show by saying, obviously an NFL Sunday has us jam-packed. But oh, by the way, the Heat and the Celtics are playing Game 6 in the bubble last night. Win or go home for Boston. Going to pick this up in the fourth quarter, under 7 to go. Heat are within one. And Bam Adebayo just took the game over. Look at that power as he goes strong to the hole. And the Heat take a one-point lead. Celtics on the other end, again, playing for their season. Jason Tatum not going down without a fight. Celtics back up two. Heat bringing it back. Just too much. Bam. A career high 32. Look at him working in the lane. He took the responsibility for his poor play and his team losing game 5. And he made up for it in a big way. Again, a career high 32 for Adebayo. Oh, and he's also making the nice dish to Jimmy Butler. Heat up 3. And 4 minutes and change to go. The lead is 5. Who's going to be the hero? Tyler's going to be the hero. Look at that left hand. He had 11 in the fourth quarter. 19 in total off the bench. And then 2 minutes to go. Up by a dozen. Looking to put it away. Duncan Robinson. A 29-8 Miami run, and that's it. Miami advances in Game 6. They play the Lakers for the NBA championship starting on Wednesday night. And so let me bring the big fella into this conversation. Kendrick Perkins is with me this morning. Big Perk, you have been talking about, as you call them, those goons from South Beach, going all the way back to before the pandemic began. What did you see from this team that enabled them to make it all the way to the finals?
Well, Greeny, I was watching a game last night, man. I was so scared, I got up and locked my doors because them goons from Dade County was out last night. Look, Andre Iguodala showed us why he was a finals MVP. He stepped up in the big moment last night, hitting big-time three-pointers and showing the way, showing that championship pedigree. Tyler Hero, this kid has an old soul. He's been here before. You're talking about a rookie performing on the big stage and the bright lights and performing at an extremely high level. Like you said, 11 points in the fourth quarter. And let's talk about Bam. Bam out of the Bayou, one of the most versatile bigs in today's game. Top 3, in my opinion, Greeny. When you look at him on the defensive end, He's everything you want. He can switch 1 through 5. Great rim protector. Great in the pick and roll. Offensively, it's nothing Bam can't do. And we saw that last night. After having a subpar performance offensively in game 4, he came back and he said, I got to be better. He dominated last night. 30 points, 14 rebounds, 5 assists. He had it his way. I mean, he was dominating the paint. He looked like a baby Shaq down there with some Giannis skills coming up court, Euro stepping. In and out. He was in his bag, Greeny. So better watch out for them goons from Dade County because they on a mission.
They're 12-3 in this postseason. They go into a series in which they will be a big underdog against LeBron and the Lakers. Give us a quick early look. It starts Wednesday night. What is your quick thought on Lakers Heat for the NBA championship in the bubble?
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Well, look, they're not a massive underdog. I do have this series going 6 or 7, and I believe that the Lakers will come out victorious because we could just see it in LeBron James' eyes, and him and Anthony Davis are the best duo since Kobe and Shaq. But look, let's not underestimate them goons from Dade County. They're going to push the Lakers. So I see it going 6 or 7 games, but I got the Lakers winning.
You know, Jimmy Butler historically has given LeBron James a lot of trouble. I'm thinking all the way back to when LeBron was in Cleveland and Jimmy was in Chicago and he would guard him. He'd play 48 minutes a night and he would guard LeBron. He has historically given LeBron a lot of trouble. So maybe the Adebayo-Anthony Davis matchup, Big Perk, and we'll have a few days to talk about this, that could be the one that could wind up making the difference in these NBA Finals.
Absolutely. And when you look at it, Jimmy is a guy that he takes pride on the defensive end. But Jimmy is not the one I'm scared of. Eric Spoelstra is. He's going to throw that zone out there, and he knows ways to mix it up. What it has offensive, the other team thinking outside the box and have them doing things that's outside their comfort zone. So I'm worried about Eric Spoelstra more so than anything. I know this to me, Eric Spoelstra is a coach that is the best coach in the league. He started as a film guy, and he has no shortcuts. He got it out the mud, and it's the makeup of their team, and it starts from him. He's the head of the snake.
Here we sit on the final Monday in September, looking ahead to an NBA Finals that begins Wednesday night on ABC. And Big Perk, we will be along for the ride. Thank you, big fella. Meanwhile, it also all comes down to this. Winner go home game 5 with a spot in the finals in the WNBA at stake tonight. Dewana Bonner, Alyssa Thomas, and the Sun take on league MVP Asia Wilson and the Aces. It's tomorrow night, 7:30 Eastern on ESPN2 and on the ESPN app. All right, coming up, Josh Allen put on another spectacular performance. The Bills are 3-0. One of our crew here sees them as a serious threat in the AFC. You'll find out who and why. Next, Get Up on ESPN. Back on Get Up, back to the NFL and a battle of the unbeatens yesterday, Bills and Rams, and it was all Buffalo early. Dan Orlovsky, how about your guy Josh Allen on fire in the first half?
Yeah, I love this. It's a little high-low concept. That safety sits down on that tight end. You wrap Stephon Diggs over that safety, over the back end of the end zone. Hang in that pocket, Josh Allen, make that throw.
So they're up 28-3. You figure the game is over, but of course you figure wrong. Later in the third, it's 28-10, and the Rams are in business. Jared Goff, Robert Woods, Rex, where's the tackling?
That's somewhere in August. They left it somewhere.
28-17. Fourth quarter, same score. Rams are driving. It's Jared Goff. And this time, we're Ryan Clark. Who is supposed to be covering Cooper Kupp?
Right here, this is going to be Tre'Davious White. He fakes the block, a little hesitation. Yep. Tre'Davious comes up on the play-action pass move, hits Cooper Kupp on the cross.
28-25. Meanwhile, Aaron Donald is a problem. Dan Orlovsky, what can we say?
I mean, I don't know if he's green. Josh Allen's like 6'5", 250 pounds. And this is 3 weeks in a row that we have seen number 99 ragdoll another adult male who has mortgage payments. So that is not okay, Aaron Donald.
The Rams would take the lead, but with 3 minutes and change to go, Josh Allen, here's your moment. Third and 22, Dan, and he delivers.
I love it. Create your own pocket, right? Patience, create your pocket. Rip this ball to Cole Beasley in the middle field. Conversion. That's such a big-time throw by Josh Allen on third and 22.
Down four with 3 minutes left in a game. Now later in the drive, it's Allen again. He's escaping pressure. How does he stay up through all of this? The flag is thrown. Hold everything. Ryan Clark, it's a face mask on the quarterback.
Because he's a grown you-know-what man. Sometimes you got to go out here and show people all of y'all ain't Aaron Donald.
And so now it's a third and 25 off the face mask, and they're going to get this one over the middle. Short of the first down, but it puts them in position. Fourth and nine. Here's your ball game. Hold everything. A flag is on the ground. Pass interference is called on Darius Williams. Quick reaction, Rex, the call.
Absolutely brutal. I mean, this is a horrible call.
Move that man.
100% decides the game because it gives the Bills a first down. If it's not called, they lose. Instead, they win. Allen, 311 yards, four touchdowns. That one to Tyler Kroft to seal it. Bills win a thriller. 35-32 is your final score. And the numbers on Josh Allen, very good. 12 total touchdowns, the most through three games in Bills history, breaking a record set by a guy you may have heard of named Jim Kelly in 1991. Buffalo reached the Super Bowl that year. Let's start by talking about Josh Allen. Dan Orlovsky, I heard you on the radio this morning. What is your perspective on Josh Allen right now?
Yeah, Josh Allen is the MVP of the NFL right now. I said it last week after the week 2 performance, and then coming into this week, I said, all right, here's the real test. You're playing against a Rams team that's 2-0. Their defense is playing really good football. Everyone's saying this looks like the 2018 team for the Rams. Josh Allen, this is your time. And he lights him up in the first half, which does not happen a ton in the NFL. The Rams come firing back. And then that third and 25, or third and 22 on that fourth quarter drive, you make that throw by creating pocket and then that ball coming out of your hands. Third and 25, you throw a rip to Stephon Diggs on time, and then that game-winning touchdown pass is the exact type of throw. That's the exact type of throw that everyone said you could not make in the NFL, the touch throw over defenders. Josh Allen is the MVP of the NFL right now through 3 weeks, and the Bills are 3-0 in large part because of his play.
Rex, he has had a lot of doubters over the course of time. You were not one of them. You have been big on Josh Allen from the very beginning. What are you seeing in him right now?
Yeah, I see exactly what I thought I'd see. And Ryan, I said when he came out, he reminded me of Big Ben. We saw it on that one where he got the face mask thing. Because there have been plenty of times nobody could tackle Ben. Same thing with Josh Allen. But when you evaluate quarterbacks, you want to see him perform at their best in the red zone on third down. That's what you want to see out of those kids. Well, guess what? Here's a stat that we have. Josh Allen has been great in the red zone from day one. He's had 42 touchdowns with one turnover in the red zone.
Yeah.
So is that good? You're going to win a lot of games that way. And we saw, I mean, right here in the red zone, this is every week. You know he's going to score. Why? He's Josh Allen. That's what he does. I thought they were going to beat the Rams asleep. I said it. because and when it came out, I'm like, oh my God, look how smart I am. And then they come up 25-1. Okay, come on, D, you almost let me down.
And at the end of the day, no one really wants to hear that they feel sorry for the Rams based on a bad pass interference call, because right, we all sure understand what happened a couple of years ago. That said, RC, that is a call that decides the game. I'm tired of all you football players telling me, oh, there's a play in the first quarter and a play in the third. No,
that's
a play. Thank you. Because that play decides the game, and it's a terrible call.
It's a terrible call. Listen, Darius Williams is hemming Gabriel Davis up. This is supposed to be an in-cut. Josh Allen's getting rushed. He throws the ball up. But you know what? Referees and officials, they don't really know football. They just know the calls they have to make. So they don't know at what point of the route this is. All they see is the ball in the air, hands on Gabriel Davis, and they call it. This is a terrible call, and this wins the game for the Buffalo Bills. But I'm not going to sit up here and say that Josh Allen didn't make this happen. The reason it's 4th and 9 there is because Josh Allen on 3rd and 25, on 3rd and 20, makes plays. The reason you win when you're the Buffalo Bills is because Josh Allen can roll one way and get the ball across the field. I have been a critic. I wanted him to be perfect. But when you say Big Ben, I feel that, because you knew there were going to be some plays you were like, why in the hell did you do that? But then when the game was on the line, he was going to make the plays that you needed to make. That's a great comparison, and we're seeing that, but maybe even better in some point.
Quick final thought, Dan, because we see a lot of quarterbacks who do it, and it doesn't look the way we've become accustomed to seeing it look traditionally. Josh Allen is very much in that category, but it's effective.
Yeah, I mean, I've said this a couple weeks ago, that they're using him like the Ravens use Lamar Jackson. I mean, utilizing the quarterback run and all that stuff. But I'd say this, Greeny. This is the second week in a row where his team has been down in the fourth quarter and he's gotten the ball late. He's won both of them. You want to talk about something that will put fear into defensive coaches and players, is a quarterback that they know when he gets the ball late in games, he's going to find a way to win the football game, and Josh Allen has become that for the Buffalo Bills.
Okay, on to our next order of business. If you're wondering how we chose Dan to be the one banished away from the desk, it might have been this tweet. So yesterday, we're watching the New York Jets play football that genuinely might not be competitive in the SEC, and I don't even mean that facetiously. In falling to 0-3 and looking definitively like the worst team in the sport, Dan Orlovsky tweeted the following, and Dan was on the 0-16 Lions. He tweeted, my 0-16 Lions would beat the Jets 16 times. Frankly, I have no disagreement. Rex, I'll give you a couple. The world doesn't want to hear it from me. 30 seconds, the New York Jets, go.
No, the New York Jets are, horrendous right now. But come on, Dano. The Jets would have destroyed you because they're better at quarterback. They're better at quarterback than your team, Dano.
That's the only one I'll give you. They're better at quarterback.
But how do you explain what you were saying?
Well, no,
it's
frustrating being a Jet fan right now, because I thought this team was going to be competitive. Last year, they won 6 out of their last 8 games. I thought they were going to, build off of it. But right now, they're doing just the opposite. But you know what, Greeny? I still think the Giants are worse than the Jets.
The New York football teams yesterday lost by a combined score, I believe, of 75-14. And that's where they sit right now, at a combined 0-6. Oh, by the way, did you know the baseball season ended yesterday and the playoffs start tomorrow? Let's run through bases through the National League situation, and then we'll do the American League coming up. San Francisco had its postseason hopes dashed on the final day of the season, losing 5-4 to the Padres. Austin Slater striking out on a called third strike to end it left the Giants stunned and not happy. Their season ends there. Meanwhile, all the Phillies needed to do was win, and they would have been in. But Bryce Harper and company fell 5-0 to the Rays. They were eliminated as a result. So the final spots were clinched yesterday. Harrison Bader tripled and homered, helped the Cardinals clinch a postseason berth with a 5-2 win over Milwaukee. But both teams got in. The Brewers clinched later thanks to the Giants losing. So in go both those teams yesterday, the Cardinals and the Brewers. And that sets up this bracket in the National League. Dodgers, Brewers, Padres, Cards, Cubs, Marlins, Braves, Reds. Dodgers are the top seed, finished with the best record in the sport, 43-17. Both the Padres and Marlins snapping lengthy playoff droughts to get in. And if you're wondering where you're going to see all the action, it's going to be right here. Best of 3 wildcard games begin tomorrow. A trio of AL matchups, Astros, Twins, 2 Eastern on ABC. White Sox, A's at 3. Yankees, Indians at 7. Those on ESPN and the ESPN app. We'll catch you up on all the American League action coming up. Meanwhile, it is the most important game of the season so far. Our analysts will tell you who has the edge as the Chiefs and the Ravens go head-to-head on Monday Night Football. That's on the way. Get them on ESPN.